Afternoon, everyone. This is the afternoon session on Thursday, May 16th, 2019, of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Carla. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon. Fish, Hardesty?
Here.
Udalee?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. And now we'll hear from our legal counsel on rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Carla, could you please read items 441, 442, and 443 together, please?
Mm-hmm. 441, accept the citywide tree planting strategy. 442, accept the 2018 Title 11 Trees Trust Funds report. And 443, amend regulations for tree planting and preservation fund to improve tree planting program outcomes.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioner Fish asked me to preside over these items. He obviously was hoping and planning to be here, but he had to go home not feeling well. So he apologizes, and I feel very honored that as the immediate Parks Commissioner, he asked me to present the item on one of our favorite topics. Portland is proud to be a city where trees are celebrated and enjoyed, from our parks and natural areas to our street trees. Portland Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry Division is working to improve Portland's urban forest for current and future generations. For all the progress we have made together, and there has been a lot, we cannot rest on our laurels. Is that supposed to be some kind of joke? I'm just reading the talking points that. Good job. I wonder if I've got any other pining things in here or opining things. We need to ensure that all Portlanders, thank you very much for the laugh, by the way. We need to ensure that all Portlanders get services from trees regardless of where they live, work, and play. Our shared commitment to trees in our city makes Portland a greener, cleaner, and more sustainable place to live. Today we will hear two reports. One report will describe how Portland can grow a more equitable urban forest, and a second report will share urban forestry's tree planting and other activities supported by the two tree trust funds. Then finally, the staff will propose an update to the tree trust funds section of City Code. Today's presentation will be led by Jen Cairo, City Forester, and Angie DiSalvo, the Urban Forestry Outreach and Science Supervisor.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Udalee. I'm Jen Cairo, the City Forester and Urban Forestry Manager, and this is Angie DiSalvo, the Urban Forestry Outreach and Science Supervisor. We have four topics to share with you today: an overview of the city's urban forestry program, the citywide tree planting strategy called Growing a More Equitable Forest, the required annual tree trust funds report, and proposed amendments to Title 11 trees, the city's tree regulations. Our goals today include council accepting the two reports and amending city code as requested at the end of our time. First, the overview of the Urban Forestry Program. Portland Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry is the city's tree team. We are the city entity responsible for managing Portland's forest, our tree infrastructure across the city. When you think about the urban forest, think of trees in streets, yards, and on public land, whether a park or a sewer pump station. Urban Forestry leads implementation of the city's Urban Forestry Management Plan and tree regulations. The management plan is from 2004 and needs updating. However, its goals are very relevant. They are three. One, protect, preserve, restore, and expand the forest. Two, promote stewardship of the urban forest, including by residents and businesses. And three, provide equitable urban forest benefits for all residents of the city. Urban Forestry's mission is to preserve and expand our urban forest and the services it provides for current and future generations of Portlanders. We do this in various ways. In addition to tree planting, which we'll talk more about shortly, Urban Forestry does tree care and maintenance on all types of city properties. We're the city's arborists, so to speak, including responding around the clock to resolve tree emergencies in public streets and properties citywide. We also educate residents, community groups, government entities, and others on tree services, tree stewardship, and the city's tree goals and regulations through many forms of outreach and education. Urban Forestry also assesses the health and resilience of our forest, the services our trees deliver to residents, and the outcomes of our tree regulations and programs. This photo is of a remarkable scarlet oak tree in the Overlook neighborhood. It's heritage tree number 238. Trees like this provide many essential services to residents. They are critical urban infrastructure. Think of our urban forest like the drinking water supply, the road network, and our sewer systems. There are many essential tree services. I'll highlight a few. You'll see these listed on the right-hand side of the slide. Trees in cities support people's health by reducing respiratory illness rates and improving mental health. They provide free on-site stormwater management and better water quality in our streams and rivers. They buffer pedestrians from street traffic and vehicle emissions, slow down driving speeds, and of course, beautify our streets, neighborhoods, and lives. Trees are also living landmarks of cultures and history and our personal stories. One of the stories trees tell in many US cities is that of environmental justice. Low-income neighborhoods and the areas immigrants, refugees, and communities of color call home in Portland consistently have insufficient trees and canopy cover. Those who often most need tree services here have the least. Trees are also one of the greatest and cheapest rays of hope to counter climate change and build resilience. Other cities with fewer trees are recognizing what we in Portland already know. Just last month on Arbor Day, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti said, "The most skilled foot soldiers in the climate change fight are not people, they are trees." And finally, trees are the image, reputation, and a key attraction of Portland. When visitors and residents talk about Portland, they talk about how green it is, thanks in large part to our urban forest. Portlanders know this. In Portland Parks and Recreation's 2017 community survey, 95% of respondents said managing the health of trees was either important or very important. Now I'll turn it over to Angie DeSalvo for our second topic.
Thank you so much. Today we bring the results of a one-year project to you titled Growing a More Equitable Urban Forest, Portland's Citywide Tree Planting Strategy, and we request that council accept this report. Because trees are such essential infrastructure, ensuring that all Portlanders have access to trees and their services is the key goal in Urban Forestry's guiding code and policy. Providing equitable urban forest benefits for all residents of the city is a primary goal of the Urban Forest Management Plan, as well as Title 11 Trees. And Parks Racial Equity Plan and our strategic plan also include specific canopy equity goals. But trees are not distributed equitably throughout Portland. Here is a map of canopy cover, or the percentage of area covered by trees. Darker green indicates more canopy. The west side of the river contains more canopy at 54%. Yet on the east side, where 80% of Portland's population lives, canopy cover is only 21%. This is much lower than the city's goal of one-third canopy coverage. And just to compare, New York City, which is a much more dense city than Portland, they have the same canopy as Portland east of the river. The primary demographic factor correlated to canopy is income. Portland's more affluent and west side areas have more canopy and more access to trees and their services. Urban forestry establishes priority planting areas to focus our efforts where trees are needed the most. Priority planting areas are where both the lowest income and the lowest tree canopy cover are. East Portland shows a concentration of need, and East Portland also happens to be home to many communities of color, immigrant, and refugee communities. So the answer may seem simple at first, just go plant more trees. But we recognize that trees cost money beyond their initial planting. To grow a healthy, long-lived tree, it must be selected carefully, planted correctly and in the right place, it must be watered, pruned, and eventually replaced. And the property owner bears these costs, even for public street trees that are adjacent to their property. To successfully grow tree canopy, communities need resources and support to care for trees. Growing our forest equitably requires a clear understanding of the concerns and needs of communities around trees. In 2015, Title 11 created a new opportunity to further expand tree planting. Title 11 requires trees to be planted and preserved, but sometimes this can't happen, usually during development. And when those requirements can't be met, a fee is paid into a mitigation fund, and Parks then uses this mitigation fund to plant trees to replace that lost canopy. This new mitigation fund gives Portland a unique opportunity to improve canopy equity. We can make a significant difference in how trees and their services are distributed. And so to put us on the right path, we embarked on creating a planting strategy. So we partnered with Portland State University's Sustaining Urban Places Lab for over 1 year to create the city's first planting strategy. The project goals were to engage with communities and determine what the barriers and opportunities to tree planting are. And this project also brought together the best available data and technology to create a web mapping tool to guide our planting efforts. And the end result is our planting strategy. It's informed by data and created under the guidance of our communities. And this strategy will guide our efforts and will help us to grow a more equitable urban forest. At the center of the project, we engaged a community advisory committee. This committee included community members who live in the neighborhoods where trees are needed the most, and it included many immigrants, refugees, and people of color. Then Parks Commissioner Fritz appointed the advisory committee, and they met monthly for 6 months. And they advised on all aspects of the project, and they were instrumental in helping us craft the final recommendations. We hired community engagement liaisons to gather feedback from 5 cultural communities in our priority planting areas. These community engagement liaisons brought together the Bhutanese, Latinx, Pan-African, Slavic, and Vietnamese communities for focus groups, which they co-led and provided interpretation for. And in the focus groups, we shared information, and participants discussed the relationship with trees and city government. We asked about barriers they experienced when planting and caring for trees and what opportunities they saw to increase tree canopy. In addition to focus groups, PSU conducted a public web survey to gather additional feedback, and response indicated that trees are very important to Portlanders. Respondents favored an active role for the city in both tree maintenance and planting. 67% believed the city should maintain street trees, and 74% believed the city should prioritize maintenance in low-income areas. When asked where the city should focus its planting efforts, first, respondents prioritized the city's rights of way and private property, and in locations where there are the fewest trees and the worst air quality. We also consulted with Portland's technical experts. PSU interviewed city bureaus, the county, metro, and one nonprofit to gather their perspectives on how to plant best for equity. Many discussed the significant financial challenge of street tree maintenance for property owners. Many others noted a desire and need for increased community engagement as a regular part of city processes. We also used interview findings to guide the strategy recommendations. PSU developed an amazing technical tool to assist with planting site selection, branchoutpdx.org. This online interactive map puts critical, up-to-date environmental and social data at your fingertips. At the larger census block scale, you can filter for environmental factors of canopy cover, urban heat index, and air pollution index, as well as social factors, such as median household income and percent people of color. Zooming into the tax lot scale, you can filter for the same environmental factors, plus some specific site factors. These include street or private property, owner or renter occupied property, land use, and road improvement. The sites are linked to Portland Maps data and public information. The owner name and address can be easily exported for follow-up. Urban Forestry is already using this tool to plan our plantings. It's publicly available on the web, and we're encouraging the public, our volunteers, and our planting partners to use this tool to find sites that are in the most need of tree planting. So now I'd like to share some of the findings and recommendations with you. And beginning with the positive, we heard overwhelmingly that our community members value and want trees. Yes, there are very real and significant barriers that prevent many from having trees, but trees are valued. The key for us as government is to reduce barriers and gain the community's trust. Focusing on immigrant and refugee communities and communities of color, the barriers to tree planting are wide-ranging. They include varying cultural values and relationships to trees, competing priorities, fears and concerns, costs, renter disempowerment, and lack of trust in government agencies. I'm going to touch on a few in more detail. While nearly everyone generally valued trees, we found that many immigrants and refugees did not have a connection to the trees here in Portland. In their home countries, focus group participants were very familiar with how trees are named, used, cared for, and valued. But they expressed that they hadn't yet had the opportunity to be introduced to Portland's trees. And this lack of local tree knowledge extended to not knowing how the city regulates or manages trees or what their responsibilities as residents are, or who to call upon for assistance. But there was high interest in learning more. Participants cited cost and competing priorities as barriers to tree planting. Cost includes the initial purchase of the tree, maintenance, and even the perceived cost of future problems. The cost of planting and maintenance are very real, and there are many competing priorities for our underserved communities. And unfortunately, for many, this means that the best way to prevent any additional burden is to just not plant trees. There were also many misperceptions about the cost of early maintenance being very expensive, such as watering as well as young tree pruning, when this inexpensive preventative work can head off many future expenses. Fears and concerns were a very big theme. This includes fear of the physical impacts from tree failure or damage to sidewalks. But that's not the only thing that community members fear. They also fear rising home prices, rent increases, and pushback from landlords. Many renters clearly stated that they did not feel comfortable asking for or advocating for trees. We also heard that many communities of color, immigrant and refugees communities did not trust government agencies due to past personal or historic negative experiences. So putting these pieces together, we created recommendations to guide future planting. You can see your report for details, but I will highlight a few. The first set of recommendations centers around funding both planting and maintenance in priority planting areas where the most need exists. We're already doing work in these areas, which confirms that we're on the right track, and it'll also help us to improve our approach. The recommendations are to plant trees in the right-of-way, yards, parks, and schools, to increase tree planting at rentals with the city approaching property owners, and to publicly fund public tree maintenance. In other words, to remove the burden of street tree maintenance from the adjacent property owner. I'll talk more about this in a bit. The next recommendations are to conduct culturally specific outreach, education, and programming that create an opportunity for immigrants, refugees, and communities of color to explore Portland's trees. Recommendations also included conducting events in the relevant language and providing interpretation, offering incentives to participate, and involving youth in programming. Focus groups recommended developing partnerships with community organizations for outreach and education, but also for planting and job training. And the final recommendation is to continue to improve planting and management of the city's planting programs. This includes continuing work to improve communication and collaboration among bureaus and sharing tools such as branchoutpdx.org. Parks should update both the urban forest management plan and the canopy targets. And in line with the recommendations, we're committed to growing a planting program that's transparent, accountable, and works. To do that, we'll continue to monitor and assess our planting efforts. This means tracking where trees are planted and who is benefiting from the city's efforts. We also need to track the health and survival of the trees. So now let's take these recommendations and put them into action. First, urban forestry is expanding our planting work. Focusing on one geographic area at a time, we're beginning with the Hazelwood and Mill Park neighborhoods, those circled in orange. For the next 2 years, we will conduct outreach, education, and tree planting efforts here. We're currently planning for planting trees along streets, in parks, yards, and the David Douglas School District. Secondly, one of the most significant recommendations is to fund street tree maintenance. In 2017, City Council directed the formation of a street tree task force to find out what it would take to fund right-of-way tree maintenance. Council has now funded this task force in the fiscal year 1920 budget, and work will begin this summer. And the task force will report back to Council on some options and costs in the coming year. Thank you for your consideration. We request that Council accept the Growing a More Equitable Forest report at the end of our time today. And at this time, we have some invited testimony.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stay.
Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Afternoon, commissioners. Hello, my name is Anjanette Brown. I am one of the Urban Forestry Commissioners. It is a volunteer position, and we meet monthly. Today, I want to testify. I got involved with tree business because I live in Southeast Portland, and one day I saw a lot of trees being cut down at one time, very close to my apartment that I lived in previously. And I was really upset. I was crying, looking out the window crying. And I was trying to involve my family, like, y'all don't see this. You're not, you know, impacted by these trees coming down around us. And my son came to me and he said, Mom, there's no point in crying if you're not going to do anything. And so very soon after that, I got involved with the tree advisory that was mentioned earlier. And I learned a lot there, and I was able to give input for the information that you heard today and be able to give things from the point of view of my community, from what I see and know. And then I was asked to be one of the Urban Forestry Commissioners. And so currently I have a seat at that table, and the power that we can have to get some more environmental justice and move forward the way that we talk about equity and diversity and the environmental justice goals that we have for our city is directly impacted by the presentation goals that we had today. And so that's why I wanted to be able to give testimony today to encourage council to accept and fund our programs. The street team program will be able to empower communities of color I will see to it myself. I do a lot of work in our community. I do a lot of volunteering. And what I've seen currently is that it's becoming very difficult to save our trees because nobody is, you know, nobody's crying outside their window, or they may not have the education. They may not know the value of the trees in the neighborhood. And so if folks are coming in and tearing them down, it'll be too late, and our urban forestry could potentially just become trees. And so that's my testimony today, and so I want to encourage you all to really think about what the environmental impacts will be if we lose our trees locally, and what just have a look around when you go outside and see how big the urban forestry is. I'd like to say that Portland is definitely a city inside of a forest, and hopefully we can keep it that way.
Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For your service, Commissioner.
Ms. Brown, thank you. Commissioner Brown, thank you very much for being here and for your service. I was wondering, how old is your son that told you?
He was 12 at the time. He's 13 now.
You must be very proud of him. That's really good advice.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here today, too.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much also for your testimony. You know, it absolutely boggled my mind when I realized that trees were planted in a very racially specific way in the city. I had the opportunity to do a tour last year or the year before, and it just kind of breaks your heart when you realize how systemic racial inequality is in Oregon, and how we just year after year after year talk about equity, or which is our new word, and yet if you look at the outcomes haven't changed much in 30 years of record keeping. I noticed that on your material that at the very bottom of your list of what the objectives were was environmental justice and climate action. And I would ask you if this list is listed in order of priority, or if this just happened to have been added to your list.
Thanks for the question, Commissioner Hardesty. It's listed, I was the one who created that. It's listed because I wanted the most currently relevant, highest priority items to be last and emphasized most. So that's why I finished with those and bold-faced them and gave more information on those.
I appreciate hearing that. How are we going to hold you accountable to making sure that communities of color actually benefit if we pass this plan?
That's a great question. One of the final recommendations is to be transparent, report on outcomes, including who benefits, where are trees planted, so that we can really hold ourselves accountable. So we plan to report our outcomes annually, and as well as a one-year update on implementation. And I ask that you please do hold us accountable. We want to be accountable. We want to do this the right way.
Indeed.
Well, I really appreciate the time you took to do the focus groups in communities of color. Was there an African-American specific focus group as well?
There was not. There was a group that was called Pan-African, primarily African immigrants, and we had representation on the advisory committee as well from our African-American community.
So I think the experience of African-Americans in the community as it relates to trees is pretty unique, and I don't know how you will now get that information into your planning process because of the removal of communities of color over and over and over again from different communities. I think that that will provide you with some very specific helpful information as you move this work forward. Because again, I mean, it's like now we've pushed most African Americans out to East Portland. But we're going to push them somewhere else again in 20 years, I suspect. And we will continue to have this inequitable problem unless we are putting policies in place that actually prevent that from happening. So thank you. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Commissioner Udaly.
Well, first of all, thank you for being here. Nice to see you. I want to thank you for including disempowerment of renters. Almost half of our residents are renters, and that certainly has an impact on this issue, as well as funding solutions to alleviate cost barriers. I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess here. I'm pretty sure I'm right, but in many of the neighborhoods that have limited tree canopy, we're also going to see a lot of broken sidewalks, and it's because of the historic way that the city has chosen to kind of allocate responsibility and financial burden for maintaining sidewalks and street trees, which I don't think is the greatest way to manage such an important public asset. I have a neighbor, in fact, who had her sidewalk, you know, disrupted by a tree. The tree was failing. She removed the tree. She had to replace her portion of the sidewalk. She's a lower income, older African-American woman. And she came to me and she was just like, now they want me to put another tree in. She's like, I'll be damned if I'm gonna put another tree in and have that tear up my sidewalk. And I have to say, like, as much as I love trees and want us to have a better canopy, I sympathize with her. And so I do think it's really important that we look at that issue in particular.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yeah. We do have one more invited testimony, if we may.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. It's nice to see you again. I am representing Portland State University, and I want to just start off by saying that this was a tremendous collaboration. I'm Vivek Shandas. I'm a professor at Portland State University. State that for the record. I am really grateful to have worked on this. I direct the Sustaining Urban Places Research Lab at PSU and was point for really running this project in terms of conducting the interviews with the bureaus and the nonprofit organization in terms of building the online tool, as well as administering the survey. And so a number of the points that you've already brought up, I just want to echo in the little time I have here. First off, this collaboration between city and university is tremendous. It's kind of one of the things that brings the best of both our strengths together. And in our case, being able to bring the best science and the best research into this question. The question that was posed was, how can we create a more equitable urban forest? And that's what I heard early on and often throughout this process. And I can say that watching Angie and Anjanette and the whole team kind of work together in the community was really pretty compelling in terms of the outreach work that was happening. In terms of a couple of things I want to note from our work, first and foremost, in building the online tool that is called Branch Out PDX, two things about that. One is that it centers the focuses on communities of color and those with lower median income. You can actually use the tool to be far more systematic about where you're planting, and using what information we have to be able to identify locations at the individual, at the individual 3 foot or more level. So it's very precise. I've taken this out to conferences and presented it, and I'll tell you something, that Portland has something that no other community currently has, and it's this tool, and they're really, really thrilled by it and asking for similar models to be built for Los Angeles, for New York, for Chicago, for places all around the country. So this is quite an extraordinary step. It took us a year to build, and I'm pretty dang proud of it. Second piece is conducted a series of interviews with bureaus, and one of the things that really came up front and center was the need to enable bureaus to collaborate across each other with focus on Title 11. There seems to be a lot of interest in trying to understand, interpret, and apply Title 11 effectively, so there's a lot of interest in trying to move various amendments that might be important for Title 11 to be a seamless document for all of your bureaus to be able to apply. A lot of work went into putting Title 11 together. I know that there's a big staff that's constantly poring over Title 11, and as chair of the Urban Forestry Commission, I hear a lot about the challenges of implementing Title 11. So while it's a tremendous document and it's a model for many places, it also has a lot of places that I think we can improve it. And I think this tree planting strategy points in the direction of where we'd like to go. And so I'd like to...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I want to ask a... I was going to say a stupid question, but I don't think questions are stupid.
No.
What is Title 11?
Sorry, it's our city tree code. I apologize. It's our city tree code. It's what urban forestry, and Jen and Angie can talk volumes about this, but I know it as an outsider from the city. I was actually introduced to it myself just a couple of years ago, and a lot went into it before my first learning about it, and now in the Urban Forestry Commission, our job is really to kind of evaluate, assess, and then inform and advise the urban forester and her staff in terms of how Title 11 can be implemented.
So let me just say, I appreciate knowing what it is, because I had all kind of things going through my head when
gotcha.
We said Title 11,
gotcha.
And it certainly
right.
wasn't
right.
a tree plan.
Appreciate that,
right?
yeah.
So thank you, yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. So the Title 11 really, in that sense, is the tree code, is the document by which a lot of this is done. And so multi-bureau collaboration becomes an incredibly important issue to be able to promulgate and move forward a big and complex document like Title 11. So one thing I learned is that this need for collaboration, again, as an outsider from the of the city, it behooves me to really encourage you to figure out the mechanisms by which that collaboration can become more seamless. I heard it over and over from multiple bureaus that this really needs to be something that we all are on the same page on and that we all want to try to move to support, because as the survey results suggested, we all love our trees, but we want to really find ways for protecting them and conserving them and then planting them in the future. With that, I just kind of close by saying thank you for supporting this project and for letting Knowledge Serve the city.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Mayor, would you accept the motion to accept the report as presented?
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
I have some more.
We'll leave this open for a moment. Commissioner Fritz.
Commissioner Chandos, thank you very much for all your leadership, both at PSU and on the commission.
True.
What's the status of doing an update to the tree code? Or even any, I know you're going to go over the minor amendments that we've got before us in an ordinance, but then what's the bigger picture? When can we add industrial zones?
Right, I'll turn it over to Jennifer Cairo for this.
Thanks, Vivek. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. We don't have more amendments that, other than what you're going to hear today, currently scheduled, like in a time frame. We are hopeful to get to work on amendments sometime in the next year, in the near future. There is also one other area that'll be probably coming back to you folks before the end of the calendar year, and that is what's called the Large Tree Stop Gap Amendment for Development. It's part of 11.50, which is the development property development chapter of Title 11. So those are the things, besides what you hear today, there'll be that one that expires. It's a temporary amendment. It expires in December, so hopefully being reconsidered before that. And then we will be trying to marshal resources so that we can proceed with scoping a rather extensive list of other amendments and figuring out which of those to proceed with, which will be a lot of stakeholder involvement and some significant analysis before that happens.
I do remember that significant spreadsheet with all of the amendments that
yes.
people have asked for. So that is a daunting task, but and I'm glad to be reminded that we do have to consider the large tree code by December.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I'm getting a lot of emails about is including industrial zones now that we've updated the comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a way to fold that in within existing resources, I did notice that there isn't an ask in the budget for updates to the tree plan.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put down a marker that I have 20 months left here, and I would really like to have a package, even if it's not the whole package, but to have something to fix. You know, Commissioner Hardesty, I hope Commissioner Fisher is able to watch at home, because this is a really uplifting hearing. He and I worked together in his first term, full term, when he was in charge of parks from 9 to 12, and then I took it over from 13 to 17, partnering on getting the Title 11 passed and implemented. It was a huge task, and you know, we pulled all the tree related issues from various codes into one chapter to make it easier and more consistent. And in doing so, we made our best guess on some of the things like the large tree protection and whether industrial zones should be in or out. Mm-hmm. I think it was always envisioned that there would be a need to revisit those regulations once we saw how they worked out. So in some sense, we are fortunate in that some of this work can be funded with permits and other things. But I know you're going to go into what the funds can do and what they can't do. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your comments, Commissioner Fritz. Duly noted.
Very good. We'll keep this motion open, and you're going to give us a report on the Title 11?
Yes. Okay. So
Trees Trust Fund. Thank you.
Yes. This is the third of the four items we have for our time today, and this is the Title 11 Tree Code required annual report on the two Tree Code Trust Funds. So this will be for 2018. You each have a copy of the report. And it's also on our urban forestry website. It's got a green cover on it. Title 11 Trees, the city's comprehensive tree regulations, establishes requirements for both tree planting and preservation. These requirements may be triggered when trees are removed or when property development occurs. In some situations, payment may be made into the tree planting and preservation fund to mitigate for lost canopy. So this is the first of the two trust funds we're speaking about. Contributions most commonly come from payments during development when trees can't be planted or preserved. They may also come from enforcement actions from violations for specifically privately owned trees. Title 11 defines how the tree planting and preservation fund may be used. Expenditures can include purchasing conservation easements to preserve trees, purchasing land to protect existing trees, and tree planting, including the cost of materials and labor to plant and establish, which is watering, mulching, and basic care of a tree for up to 2 years. Currently, the code requires that funds be spent in the same watershed where they were collected, and you'll hear more about that in a bit. In fiscal year 17-18, the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund received $1,278,488 in contributions, and expenditures were $511,152. Expenditure highlights from that trust fund include the development of the tree planting strategy, growing a more equitable forest, which you just heard great details about. Also in fiscal year 17-18, parks planted 17,988 trees with those funds throughout the city. Plantings included students planting trees at schools through Parks Urban Forestry's Learning Landscapes program. We planted trees in natural area restoration projects, such as Wilkes Creek Headwaters, and we also gave trees away for people's yards. In 2017, Parks began a new yard tree giveaway program with these funds and distributed nearly 600 free trees at events in East Portland to East Portland residents. Moving on to the second of the two Title 11 Trees Trust funds. The Urban Forestry Fund is also in Title 11. The purpose of the fund is to enhance the urban forest through planting of public trees and to increase awareness of trees and their services. Contributions to this smaller fund come from fees and penalties from public tree violations. The city's tree code outlines the following allowable uses for the Urban Forestry Fund, which include education, outreach, and technical assistance for the community, as well as public tree planting and other various forestry activities. In fiscal year 17-18, the Urban Forestry Fund received $93,405 in contributions. Expenditures were $84,713. Highlights of how those expenditures were used in the fiscal year include the Tree Inventory Project, which has twin goals of providing data to support more informed management of Portland's trees while educating the public about their benefits. Our inventories are very important to our work. We can't manage what we don't know. To date, more than 1,500 volunteers have given over 20,000 hours to the project, making it Urban Forestry's most popular and successful public education program. Funds also supported seasonal staff who assist with outreach and education events. In fiscal year 18, Urban Forestry hosted over 30 workshops to provide planting, pruning, and tree care information to hundreds of participants. This concludes the presentation of the annual Title XI Trust Funds report, and I request that Council accept the report at the end of our time today.
I'd be happy to entertain a motion now unless people have questions. Commissioner Udaly?
No.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty, a second from Commissioner Udaly.
Great.
Next up, the ordinance.
Next up, finally, of the four, here we are. Yes, this is, we're requesting two amendments to Title XI, the city's tree code.
If I could just make a technical note here for folks, we will be accepting testimony on this portion of today. So I just want to be very clear, the testimony will only be on matters discussed from this point on. Thank you.
Thank you. Both of these proposed amendments affect how the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund, the first of the two that I talked about, can be used. You have the specific code language changes in front of you. We consulted with the Urban Forestry Commission, Portland Audubon, the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and the Bureau of Environmental Services on the following proposed amendments. The first of the two is to extend the number of years for which the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund can be used for a tree establishment from 2 to 5 years. Due to climate change, Portland's summers are hotter and drier for longer time periods. Simply put, new trees are dying without extended watering. The needed 2 to 5 years of establishment care includes watering, mulching, and other early care activities that really predict the lifespan and the health of trees in the future. Second, code currently requires tree planting and preservation funds be expended in the same watershed from which they were collected. Those watersheds in the code are four: Columbia River, Willamette River, Johnson Creek, and Fano and Tryon Creek together. We propose eliminating this requirement because it perpetuates the inequitable distribution of trees. The watershed requirement was intended to deter cumulative tree canopy loss within these four areas. However, this requirement significantly limits our ability to provide equitable tree services to all residents. City code provides other vehicles for addressing existing canopy loss, such as the code tree planting requirements. Also, the administration of the watershed requirement is unnecessarily complex and resource intensive. Amending the code in this way was also a suggestion of the 2017 City Auditor's Report on Title XI implementation. Eliminating this requirement will allow more direct use of the funds to support our tree equity goals. We request that Council amend Title XI as proposed, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Fritz.
I think, if I remember correctly, the in the same watershed was also designed to not have money from East. It was thought that there was a lot of construction going on in East Portland and that that money needed to stay in East Portland. Are we going to be, so we're going to adopt the tree planting strategy, and so that's a different way of making sure that funds are invested in East Portland, because the thought was if people there were not asking for trees and people elsewhere were, that there was a danger that the East Portland funds could get drained, siphoned off elsewhere. So we're going to address that through the tree strategy plan?
Correct, yes. As you've seen today and in the document that you have, and especially the maps, we can see what parts of town clearly have deficiencies in tree canopy, and that's where we want to be able to focus those funds. The great majority of those areas are in East Portland.
And the second question is, has the commission taken a look at the proposals that are going on at the legislature to require more density in single family neighborhoods and what the impacts of that might be on tree coverage and mm-hmm. trees on lots?
Commissioner, are you referring to the residential infill project that BPS conducting?
Yeah, the similar version at the state is going through. So yes, you can comment on the residential infill project if you've looked
okay.
at that.
The Urban Forestry Commission, as well as Urban Forestry staff, have been to a degree involved in those and are continuing to make comments on those and other Bureau of Planning and Sustainability plans and projects that would affect potential canopy and existing tree canopy.
Great. When they come to council, I'll be looking for the Urban Forestry Commission and your recommendations.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner.
Very good. Any further discussion? Do we have public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have one person signed up.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ted Labey.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. My name is Ted Labby. I'm with the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and thank you for your service, Commissioners, Mayor.
Thank you.
I will be brief. My name is Ted Labby. I live at 3011 Northeast Hoyt in Portland. I work with the Urban Green Spaces Institute. We advocate for urban green infrastructure in a way that lifts up our community and aligns with our housing, our transportation goals. And I just am here today to support these two really important amendments to Title 11. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the equitable thing to do. I think it frees the hand of your fine staff. They're doing amazing work to advance our urban forestry agenda. And so I would encourage you to accept those amendments. We are definitely going to be engaged with the future Title 11 work, and we are going to continue to be engaged with the residential infill project to address your concerns, Commissioner Fritz. I believe there are ways to get trees in and also improve density, improve access and equitable housing choices for people in the city. So we're definitely engaged with that, and we'll be coming back to talk to you in the fall about that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question here.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I have a question about the two funds that you spoke about, and one of your amendments is to be able to spend resources in different places than where you raised those resources. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that would work. I mean, so if I live in East Portland, can I expect to benefit from wealthier areas of the city of Portland from that fund? Hmm. Just how do you see that working? And won't they be mad?
So the goal would be to use the planting strategy to guide how we spend the funds. So really look at where we need trees the most, not look at just putting them back to where they already exist.
Right.
So we would use the planting strategy to really guide that effort and focus on those priority areas.
So you will have an internal process that your oversight committee will be involved in to help you figure out how to invest those dollars? Is that what I'm hearing?
The advisory committee is no longer together. They were a one-time group to focus on this particular project, but the Urban Forestry Commission and Council do provide some oversight by hearing us report back on expenditures every year and outcomes on, again, where those trees are planted and who's receiving benefit from them.
If I could add, Commissioner Hardesty. Sure. So the city's tree regulations require us to report to you all each year on how we use those two trust funds.
Right.
So I think that's a really great vehicle for you to watch how we're using those funds. And what you heard today about growing a more equitable forest and our next steps for that, that is our current plan to use those funds in the best way that we know how from the study that we did with so many community members to improve canopy in the underserved areas of town.
Maybe I'm just playing devil's advocate, but if I live in Southwest and I'm giving money to this foundation because I think it's going to benefit my community because I, you know, like trees and want more, and then a year from now and I find out you spent them all in East Portland, I guess I'm concerned that when you come back in a year, you would have already done whatever you've done, and you'll just be reporting what you've done as compared to whether or not what you thought you were going to do is actually making sense and you're still headed down that path.
Mm-hmm. I wish that we received voluntary contributions into the fund.
You don't?
We don't, no. These are all required payments. So it's mitigation money for when you could not plant, you have the options to plant back on your site or to preserve an existing tree during development, and you choose not to do that or you can't do that. In that case, then you have to pay this fee that goes into the mitigation fund, and then it's up to parks to put those trees back in the right, the best place. And the best way we know to do that, and what we found, is to do that in the name of equity and put it back where it's needed the most. And so that's how we'll be guiding that, yeah.
Thank you, that helped me a whole lot.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'd comment to Commissioner Hardesty. We actually undertook this project that Angie led so that we would know from the communities that most need trees how best to use these public funds.
Commissioner Fritz.
When I became Parks Commissioner, we had $25 million of system development charges that had built up over the recession, or we were just getting out of the recession. I went to all seven district coalition areas and asked them, where should I invest this? And I was expecting everybody to say, in my park, in my neighborhood. Everybody said, put it in East Portland, because they don't have as much as we do. And so we put $65 million. It ended up being $65 million that we invested in East Portland. And I did eventually get people say, well, where's mine? And I was able to say, well, you've gotten this and this and this. We gave some to each area, but the vast majority went to East Portland. And it's been one of the most heartwarming and encouraging thing to me that Portlanders do care about our neighbors, and we do care about fairness and about redressing past wrongs. So, yeah. Parks tend to bring out the best in people, I think.
For those who have parks.
Yes, indeed. Now you've got more in East Portland.
They're coming.
Very good. With regard to 441, the report, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm really, really happy about this. You know, it started under me. Commissioner Fish has done an amazing job of bringing it in. The work that you're doing, truly grounded, truly involved in the community, continuing to pledge to continue to do so. So thank you very much, Jen Cairo and Angie DeSalvo. Thank you to Commissioners Brown and Vivek Shandes. And I'm thrilled. I'm really happy about how this turned out. Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I want to thank you for this report and the entirety of the presentation. It was very informative, well-organized. I appreciated the back and forth with the council as well. That always helps. Even if I don't ask the question, I always learn something new from the questions that are asked. So I appreciate them. Very much. I also want to acknowledge Commissioner Fish and his team. I see Asena Lawrence is here, and I suspect she probably had a lot to do with this as well. And I want to thank Nick for the work that he puts into this and his commitment. And I see Director Adina Long here as well, and I want to thank her for hitting the ground running from the time she came here, but I'd expect that from a New Yorker, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. So thank you for your work, and to all the commissioners who worked so tirelessly. And I know that there are many, many partners that are involved in this process, and many, many more volunteers. And I think this is just a great way that the community comes together and does fantastic work. So thank you. I vote aye. The report's adopted. Item 442, also a report. Please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz.
So this is on Title 11 report, and I need to go back and thank my staff who've worked on this for many years, Patty Howard and Tom Bizzo in my first term, and Tim Crail-Pujabat and Christina Nieves, and now Cynthia Castro and Yesenia Carrillo. I think there's one thing, there's several things that binds my staff together, but one of the constant themes is we all care about trees. Aye.
Wheeler.
Great report. I appreciate the both clarity of the report and the transparency in the way it's provided. I vote aye. The trust report's adopted. And the last item is an ordinance. It's a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you for your presentation. Why don't we take a 5-minute break before we get into the next item? We'll be in recess until 3:05.